This is Freedom, written by Arrow 66 and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Taking the scissors to Steed's wardrobe was more therapeutic than she'd first imagined. Steed had taken a surprising amount of clothing with him when he left. Well, Mary mentally revised, hand on her hip as she peered into the nearly empty closet. The fact that he took the clothes actually wasn't that surprising, but the way he had managed to do so in secret? Baffling. He had left behind only the pieces he liked least, which seemed to be anything that was either made of simple cotton or not dyed in some garish hue. There were waistcoats, jackets, cravats, trousers, stockings, and more, all in comfortable fabrics and muted colors, which just so happened to be exactly Mary's taste. One more thing she supposed they'd never see eye to eye on. As she sat on the floor of his ridiculous walk-in closet, tearing out the seams of his rejected wardrobe and restitching the remnants to her own measurements, she considered that Steed's running away was, by far, the best gift he'd ever given her. She used to think their marriage was the best gift, not because they were so deeply in love, of course, but because of what being married offered to her. By marrying her, he had given her legitimacy in a society not made for women, and granted her the titles that she needed in order to function within their social structure. When she was just 19, she had eagerly left behind Miss Mary Allenby and became Mrs. Steed Bonnet. His name was a key that unlocked the doors of her world. Their partnership was, without a doubt, not what she had originally imagined. But even had she known, she still would have made this trade 1,000 times over. The ring on her finger granted her access to money, independence, and the world beyond the edges of her parents' estate. She knew, vaguely, that Steed had felt confined by their marriage, but she never really understood why. For her, it was freedom. Of course she didn't hate their life, all things considered. It would have been infinitely worse for her as a spinster. Mary had no siblings, no schoolmates, no close relatives. She had lived a rather lonely, solitary life. When her marriage to Steed was arranged, she was just at the age where the thought of boys was becoming intriguing. Young men had started to notice her on her few trips into town, and she noticed them as well, blushing as they made eye contact and stumbling over her words when they exchanged pleasantries. And if there were a few of the dressmaker's shop girls who made her heart beat a little quickly as well, when they reached around her bust to take measurements or took her hand to help her down the steps of the alteration stool, well, nobody had to know about that. The expectations for her future were clear, and she was well aware that her fantasy of kissing the blushing brown-haired seamstress, or any woman, would always be just that, a fantasy. She had tried to redirect her dreams towards the broad shoulders and perpetual scruff of the grocer's boy who carried their purchases to the carriage, and, for the most part, it worked. She'd been hopeful that the Bonnet's son would be like him, good-natured and kind, soft-spoken but quick with a smile. Suffice it to say, her expectations were set high as she stood facing Steed on that windy beach, too high, as it turned out. Over the years, especially since Louis was born, she thought that they had reached a truce, rotating carefully through the house around each other, like cuckoo clock dancers on a track. Mary didn't mind. To be honest, that was a lot easier than when they were pretending to be lovers. She had a sneaking suspicion that Steed preferred men, but frankly, she didn't really care what he did, as long as he was discreet. He didn't much seem to care for her, but there was nothing they could do about it, so did it really matter why? Ultimately, he was inoffensive and easy to ignore. Out of courtesy, she attempted to be the same for him. She assumed this would be how they lived out the rest of their lives. When she woke up that fateful morning and read his note, she was stunned. She took the letter back with her to the bedroom, curled up around the covers, read it another 5 times, and sobbed. She thought they had an unspoken agreement. How could he? How dare he? Once again, she had been slighted, snubbed, and hurt by this ridiculous man. It was frustrating to be upset over someone that she knew, without a doubt, simply didn't give a single fuck about her. She imagined the pity and disdain on everyone's faces, looking at her and her children and knowing they weren't good enough for Steed Bonnet. Mary had endured a lot of nasty looks on behalf of Steed. She clearly wasn't the only one who suspected his preferences. But now that he was gone, She certainly didn't intend to carry on enduring them in his absence. She made up her mind then and there, her bare feet swinging out of the bed and stepping lightly across the room to the fireplace, where she threw the letter into the twisting flames and watched it burn away until only ashes were left. He didn't run away. He was dead. Dead to her, and dead to everyone else. Dead in the eyes of the law, which is the only way she and the children could keep living. Farewell, Steed Bonnet, and may God rest your soul. It wasn't until many weeks later that she realized what a gift this actually was, what true freedom actually was. By dying, Steed had actually given her the best of both worlds. She could keep his name, and everything that went with it, but she was no longer restricted by her previous position as wife. There were no more society dinners to attend. The wives of Steed's business partners stopped showing up to take tea, and their parents had died long ago. Once the guests stopping by to extend obligatory condolences finally dwindled away to nothing, Mary realized that she was, at last, totally, wonderfully, blissfully alone. So here she was, sitting on the floor of the closet in nothing but her slip, surrounded by piles of clothing and scraps. Etiquette dictated that today was the first day she could stop wearing her full mourning blacks, and she certainly didn't intend on wasting even one more day of her life in service of Steed Bonnet. And yet, she couldn't seem to bear putting one of her old dresses back on, either. She picked up the discarded jacket, cream-colored, with a simple pattern of crossing gray lines. Too simple for Steed, of course, who had never been able to appreciate the simple joys of life. He was gone now, off finding his great adventure on the seas, or some bullshit, and Mary was left behind to refit the trappings of Steed's old life and see what new things she could make of it. Just when she was starting to figure out who Miss Mary Allenby was, she had been forced to trade it in for who Mrs. Steed Bonnet had to be. Looking down at the retailer jacket, Mary felt a small pinprick of hope. For the first time in her life, she would get to find out, on her own, who the Widow Bonnet might be. Her own great adventure was beginning. The end.